Steve, you gonna hold that motion?
Thank you.
I'd like to talk this morning about stories. And I've come to believe kind of a saying that I heard, I don't even know where I heard this, that all stories are true and some actually happen. And I really think, you know, it sounds kind of funny, but you're not going to tell me that Moby Dick isn't true, right? Did it actually happen? Maybe. Probably not in the way it's described in the book. But we'll do it unscientific. Oh, you have read it. How many have read Moby Dick just for giggles here? Quite a few, really. Not exactly the most stimulating piece of literature in the world. I've read it twice, which doesn't say a whole lot for me. Okay. So stories. I think all stories are true. Some actually happened, like I said a moment ago. I want to talk about a story that did actually happen in our own life. We celebrated ordination of priesthood, and I always say we because, you know, we all went to seminary together, Katie and the two kids and myself, and, you know, even though they weren't technically speaking ordained priests, they've been in the whole milieu all the way along. So it's always a we and not just an I. So the celebration of our ordination of priesthood took place on December the 20th, 1986, in Rice Lake, Wisconsin, Grace Church, Rice Lake. And as y'all know where Rice Lake is. Okay, well, as the saying goes, it's way up north. And on a December day, Saturday, a cold Saturday, I might add, I think the temperature was hanging somewhere in the single digits. And the church was packed. And there was so much breath being exhaled in the church that the windows frosted over. Now, I could tell you almost every detail of that day, even though it's been almost 30 years. I had asked a dear friend of mine to preach. And David came up from Neshortos. He was my professor of New Testament, to preach at the ordination of the priesthood. And he went to the pulpit, and he began to sing to us. And I thought I'd never heard somebody start a sermon by singing. And he sang, and to the best of my recollection, I've still got the whole thing on a VHS tape at home if we have a working VHS player. I don't know. I may just plug it in and see what he did sing. It sounded to me like a spiritual. You know what I mean when I use that term? He didn't say it was black spiritual, but it had that same kind of background to it. And he continued to sing, and he told us why he was singing. He said there was a woman in a church that he attended at some point, and this was kind of her song, if you will. So he told us a story. He told us that story about how he became connected with the song. Now, if you've ever been to an ordination, you know that at some point during the whole process, the preacher, whoever they may be, delivers a charge, really marching instructions, if you will, to the person being ordained. So David turned in our direction, and he gave his charge. And he said, whatever you do, wherever you go, I want you to remember at least one thing. And he said, I want you to remember to tell the story. Tell the story of God. Tell the story of how God intersected your life and everybody else. If God has not intersected your life, you wouldn't be here.
Okay? You'd be home drinking coffee, reading the paper. I thought I could do that for a while after I retired, but I found out I missed this too much. And I don't mean doing this, I miss just sitting in the pew. So I had about a month of sitting home, drinking coffee, reading the paper, and that's about it. So, anyway, that's part of the story too.
So you all have had an intersection with God in your life in some fashion. I don't know exactly how. You do. As I said a moment ago, if it hadn't happened, you wouldn't be here. And we all have our own unique stories. The things that we've gone through in life, our own unique makeup, our challenges, our joys, all of those things go together. The people we've met, for crying out loud, and who have journeyed with us in this gift of life, they are all part of our story. And I'm indebted to my wife for saying this after Saturday night service. She said, you know, you could have mentioned how important it is for people to tell their story because it gives everybody else permission to tell theirs. To tell their own unique story about how God has touched them, how God has intersected their lives, what they've struggled with, what they've had joys regarding. And in doing that, they begin to own their own story. And they begin to, dare I say, come to some kind of maturity. Come to accept oneself. It's not always an easy practice. You know, it takes most of us, well, a lot of our years, really, to get to the point where we both know and accept ourselves and understand where God has touched us. So my friend told me that as a baby priest going out to serve in the church. And we've stayed in contact through the years. He's serving in Southern Ohio at this point. He's getting about ready to retire himself. And his story has been checkered, full of ups and downs. And it's his story, so I'm not going to tell you what they were. But suffice it to say, it hasn't all been just a bed of roses, which I suppose any of us could say. I'm going to segue just a bit here. We're still going to talk about telling the story, but we're going to talk about it in a different venue. This is the first Sunday of Advent. You know, you all know that. Four Sundays of Advent. Always told it's a season of anticipation. What are we anticipating, folks? Anybody know? The what? But you know, that happens every year. We know it's coming. We know it's Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. We're going to celebrate the Incarnation. It's just a little bit disingenuous to say we're anticipating. Our grandkids already know it's coming because they've been telling us what they want for Christmas. So, you know, yeah, that's a great idea. But I'm going to suggest something maybe a little deeper. Advent is the beginning of the Christian story, as told in Scripture and as reflected upon in services. It starts every year anew. It borrows from the year before, but it's completely different. Because we're completely different people than we were a year ago on the first Sunday of Advent. I once thought, when I was first ordained, that the only thing I would have to do is go through the lectionary cycle three times. And I've used this at St. Andrews before, Heather. And go through the lectionary circle three times, and I would have all the sermons I ever needed for the rest of my practicing career. It was kind of stupid, actually, you know. You're in a different place every 3 years. The readings may your story has changed. It speaks to you in a different fashion. It touches you in a different way. So let me suggest to you that we begin our story anew this year. And yes, we do anticipate. We anticipate what was talked about by the prophet Isaiah in the reading from Romans. Even in the gospel, we anticipate, to use Isaiah as an example, we anticipate when there will be a time when we really will beat our swords into plowshares rather than the other way around, which, you know, we've gotten pretty accomplished with that, beating our plows into swords. And we haven't achieved anything more than the promise of peace. The reality remains very, very elusive. So I think we can anticipate that. The letter to the Romans says that, you know, it's time to wake up. It's far gone. And yet, we've been waiting for that fulfillment for 2,000 plus years. It hasn't happened. Paul thought it was going to happen during his own lifetime. Paul was wrong. It didn't happen. You know, Rob, do you think God had a change in plans? What? Is this a door converter? Well, is it? Okay. You think God had a change in plans? No. Well, I won't play the teacher and say why or why not. But for some reason it didn't happen. And the gospel, you know, the gospel is very clear. When's it going to happen? When is that time of fulfillment going to occur? Matthew says nobody knows. Only God. He would go so far as to say, not the Son nor the angels have any idea when that time of fulfillment will happen. And yet we still anticipate it. Let me suggest to you this morning that, and this is just one person's opinion, so here it is. My belief is that time of fulfillment will happen when God touches enough human hearts that we make it. For some odd reason, and it is an odd circumstance, God prefers to include us in this whole enterprise. God has given us two prodigious gifts, the gift of life and the gift of free will. And it's really contingent upon us to use those gifts and to bring to this world the fulfillment that we have longed for ages. I mean, Isaiah was 2,500 years ago. Ages. I'm going to conclude with a couple of quotes from Gandhi. And Gandhi said, you know, Gandhi was quite taken with the person of Jesus. And Gandhi said, you know, I could be a Christian, except for one thing. Other Christians. You know, he lived in an occupied country. The Brits occupied India. Come on. You know, Gandhi did not have a high regard for the way most of us practice our faith. Gandhi also said, and I think in a more telling fashion, you know, there's no reason to be an overly accusative regarding how in the past we have practiced our faith. But Gandhi said, and I think this is the most telling piece, be the change that you want to see in the world. Be the change you want to see in the world. It is all of our responsibilities put together. And I'd even go so far as to say, if you don't, and again, we haven't done very well at being the change we want to see in the world. If we don't do it, we only have ourselves to blame. You know, we are the guilty ones. Anybody want to weigh in?
and offer some of their own thoughts at this point? Turn this thing off. No? Heather? I knew you would! I knew it!
Oh, thanks, Steve. Appreciate you doing it.